Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 119 of the Rugbiz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude and the Six Nations is here. Archie's back on the beers and normality is suddenly upon us. Archie, how are you feeling, sir?
No, I'm good. How are you, Claudus?
I'm good. You look pretty jaded, though.
Yeah, mate, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit dusty.
A little bit dusty. You'll finally return to lashing.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, it feels good to be back.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a little bit jaded. You're right. But yeah, I feel like life is back on track.
Big weekend. I saw you were at Twickers.
Yeah, just a bit. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a typical rugby weekend for me, and it was beautiful, mate. It was beautiful. It was everything I imagined. It felt like I'd been away in some kind of, you know, left-wing hippie commune.
Oh, yeah, sort of a la Ryan Caldwell.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was a dream was over. Yep. Snapped back into it. I was in reality. I was in a pub in Clapham, beer in my left hand, chugging it down, talking in depth about the match ahead.
Of course.
About rugby in general.
Yeah.
You know, the landscape of rugby.
Yeah.
And where they're going wrong. And then I was on the train to Twickers. Obviously, met
doing
you
the
there. Delivered some unbelievable banter. I mean, go check it out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
the chat was on fire.
You were recognised by a lot of people there. Thousands, I would say.
Yeah. I'm quite a big deal in the rugby community. I think the rugby guy's looking over his shoulder and thinking, the chat train's coming.
Yeah, nice to meet him.
Yeah, I met him. Madam, good guy, strong guy, good handshake.
Did you do a goose step with him or not?
No, I didn't. I didn't do one. I think he's saving that content for when me and him finally goose step off each other. I mean, the rugby world won't know what's happening. It'll be like a social media bomb going off. Bam!
Maybe save that for the World Cup or a live show.
Yeah, you write that down. Message him to try and visit him to produce some goose stepping content.
Yeah, I'll write that.
Okay. And I was in Twickers for the match. I managed to get a ticket from a very old school friend of mine, Rupert Nicholson.
Oh, nice.
Went with him and his dad. So I know he listens to podcasts. Thank you, Rupu. He'll love the chat. Loves the pod.
Good
real
guy.
Rugby guy through
good
and through.
Guy.
So managed to get into Twickers with them, which was wonderful.
Good seats?
Awful seats, but his dad's quite a big deal in venture capitalism.
So nice.
And it was really nice to sort of connect with him. Obviously a bit annoying, he was actually sat next to his dad and it was difficult to have conversation.
You went along, yeah.
But I managed to slip in a few things about, you know, the built-on market. So I did say to him, let's connect on LinkedIn. So I'm waiting for him to connect, and then obviously let's hope business will resume. But it was a great game, Clodis. I know everyone's a bit downbeat about England losing.
Another loss.
But we actually played a bit of rugby. I was saying to a lot of guys afterwards, you know, because afterwards you stay back and you just around the stadium, you can just sort of infiltrate different pockets. So I'm just going around saying the same thing to just multiple different groups.
And they all agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, there were some hotly debated topics, you know, whether the Smith-Farrell combination works. But, you know, on the evidence of today, there were small glimpses. Yeah, it does work.
I mean,
give Borthwick a bit of a try. It's his first game. That's what I was saying to everyone. It's his first game.
Give the guy a break. Yeah.
Give him time.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't had a proper amount of time to train the players and let them know the game plan.
And
a lot of people agreed.
Fascinating insight.
They would sort of move on because they had places to go. Sort of almost like a queue system. I would then sort of just walk a few further and jump in and be like, are you
so Rupert had gone on at this point, did he?
Well, it was a bit unfortunate. They went to the loo and then all of a sudden I couldn't get through to his phone at all. I think the reception there is awful.
Yeah.
But I was just going to various groups and just saying the same thing. And before I knew it was 10 o'clock and I knew a few of the boys were in Inferno. So off I popped down there, and I can't remember getting home.
Bloody good night then.
Just a bit. And it was good to be back at Twickers, and it was just brilliant to be back at Inferno's. Two places with a distinct smell that for me, it's a smell I will always remember.
Yeah.
It's a similar smell to my geography teacher, Mithy Matthews' cupboard.
Right.
I always remember that smell.
Oh God. Well, Archie, obviously talking about ruggers, it was a disappointing start to the Six Nations, but we, as you say, we'll give Borthwick time.
Yeah. But we must give Borthwick time. He hasn't had the amount of time he needs to implement his game plan. The guy has just got in the job.
Yeah, give him.
He hasn't got his backroom staff.
Okay.
Him and Kevin need time.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
But it's a wonderful thing to bring up with also clients and other rugby enthusiasts. You know, it's a fair point.
You've been using that in your emails.
No one really can argue against you.
You've been using that in your emails this week? Just a bit of rugby banter?
To various clients that do understand rugby.
The game, yeah.
Yes.
You've included it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, talking about mixing rugby and business and pleasure, we've got the perfect event. And when you're listening to this now, it's this evening.
Yeah.
We're at M Restaurant, a high net worth restaurant in Victoria, a place anyone can get to easy. Talking of big England second row and Simon Borthwick, his old sparring partner in Simon Shaw, Lions, Wasps, England legend.
Yeah,
you ready?
Yeah.
Cocktails?
Yeah,
get it loose, bum funnels. A little bit of triple
there
A's
will
meet up
be a lot of B-A-N-T-E-R banter.
There will be.
I mean, it's going to be a great event to meet other high net worth individuals.
Yes.
It'll be a great event for me to talk to them directly about how they can make themselves more impressive in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great to talk to Simon Shaw.
Very good.
The double S.
Legend.
Looking forward
rugby.
To having some really good banter. I mean, he's played so much rugby. His chat's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, can't not be.
We'll probably have a sing-song.
We'll have a bit of a sing-song.
There'll definitely be some games.
We'll
definitely be getting a few people naked.
Yes, please.
And then afterwards, we'll just be around the area drinking, and it'll be really, really good fun.
Well, originally we were in the networking terrace.
You and me going out in the town,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, I was
going to
be going.
No way getting out, because I know you're
okay.
free.
Okay, well, originally we were in the sort of small networking terrace room, and they've upgraded us, so they've released 20 more tickets online. So all you have to do, if you want to come this evening and have some fun, bring your mates, bring your cheekers, bring your old colleagues, bring everyone.
Yeah.
Just click on the Eventbrite.
There's no age requirement.
Well, you get a free cocktail. So
exactly, brilliant. If you're below 18, you can get a free alcoholic drink on the door.
Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
So we highly recommend, if you're under the age of drinking, we will turn a blind eye.
Yeah, tickets are only 15 quid.
And if you're an old guy, come. It will be actually really interesting to talk to you.
Well, it's great to get Simon
Shaw.
I'm
sure you've got some really good wisdom on life.
Well, it's great to
get... And girls, if you want to come, it's not just for guys.
No, please,
we're
everyone.
A podcast with a pretty good demographic.
Yeah,
I think we've got 25% women listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So please feel free. Come and show your face, and we would love to see you.
Well, talking about mixing business, pleasure, and giving Borthwick time, we've got a man who won Borthwick the Premiership on the podcast today. He's just moved out to New Zealand. He's just got off the flight.
Yeah.
Johnny Highlanders, Super Rugby.
It's going to be emotional.
His sick cap. Yeah. Freddie Burns is our guest on the podcast today.
It is emotional.
Are you tearing up?
Yeah, I am a little bit. I mean, when we met Freddie, he was an absolute loser.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he is flying high. Beautiful girlfriend, beautiful destination to play rugby, and beautiful vision for the future. And he's a guy that's really benefited from the AAA, BBB, CCC. A lot of people don't know that I've spent a lot of time with Freddie
off
the podcast, tutoring him, and really what he has gained from it has been incredible. I'm going to take 3 steps back, 2 to my left, and I'm going to hit this chat with all my force, because he bloody deserves it. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. It has been so good, but now it is the end. Goodbye, my lover. You're my friend. This is quite an emotional podcast.
Are you okay? You've been crying all afternoon. Are you okay?
I've been crying for the last couple of days. Just
why?
I don't know. Burnsy leaving. It seems like, you know, it's an end of an era. We first found Burnsy when, you know, he was down and out. Now he's a Premiership winner. He's about to go to New Zealand, make a lot of money. I mean, it just feels like it's an incredible story. I hope that one day they turn the story of the Rig Biz and Freddie Burns into a Hollywood movie.
I reckon there's definitely a chance of that, mate.
Who would play you, Burns?
I owe everything that I've got to you boys.
Stop it. But
true.
We will send you an invoice in the post. Burnsy, how are you? I mean, this is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, mate. I'll tell you what, it's been nuts. From the deal actually being put on the table to happening, it's probably only been, I'd say, a month, 5 weeks, really. I reckon about 3 months ago now, my agent called me up and was like, the Highlanders have inquired about you going down and doing a super season. Would you be keen? And I said, look, I'll consider it, but I'm not going to do anything with say anything to Leicester until there's an offer put on the table. So it all went a bit quiet. And then probably 5-6 weeks ago now, my agent called me up and was like, mate, they're still keen. Like, here's the offer. So then I was... had to be strapped with Wiggy. So I had a meeting with Wiggy, told him what the crack was. Then we sorted the financial implications of me going and whether Leicester would allow it. And to be honest with you, they've been class, mate. They've been so good at understanding the opportunity and letting me go. And then The hard bit was Boyce's. I obviously got injured against Sale, and generally all the tests and that come back, and the physios told me I'd done my ACL. So I'm Boyce. I'll tell you that I am there from till the Tuesday. I've got Becky dressing me, pulling my boxers up.
Oh yeah,
you know it could be worse
for me. I'm on crutches, thinking that it's 9 months out. I have a scan. It's bone bruising, Boyce.
Jesus,
it's like a 2 week injury. But mate, in terms of stress, like obviously we thought the deal was off, and then suddenly I was all right. And then it goes back to the deal being on. So it's literally been a roller coaster of emotion and stress. And then you're watching games. Like if Leicester picked up an injury in the 10 shirt, it would have been cancelled anyway. So just about getting to this point now that we are, where everything's signed and done and just waiting for the flights.
And Burnsy, just do you know any of the boys that play for the Highlanders?
I don't, mate. But you'll enjoy it, actually, because first person to follow and send me a direct message was Aaron Smith.
Good guy, yeah.
And like that's not a bad first up DM. So I feel like if I'm pallying with him, surely I'm.
He may come meet you in the airport. Apparently, he enjoys hanging out in airports.
Yeah, he might be busy, mate. But other than that, so we DM. So I'm good for that. My missus had no clue who he was. So
well, mate, keep your missus away from him.
Yeah, probably, mate. Yeah, she'll. Yeah, Burnsy, very friendly.
Burnsy, what's the plan? You do one season there, and then as we planned, we'll meet up in Japan, pick up a few brown envelopes, and start our sort of business out there, the Biltong business.
Exactly, mate. We're taking Biltong to Japan, mate. So yeah, out there one season in New Zealand, and then back for a couple of months, and then out to Japan in October time, I think.
Where are you going in Japan? Which club?
I'm going back to Shockey. So I'm going back to
Shockey Shuttles.
Unbelievable.
I don't know whether they're announcing that or what, but I'm sure not many people at Shockey listen to.
That region of Japan is sort of our average listenership is from Shockey in Japan. They'll be over the moon. They will be going crazy. Media outlets will be going crazy. Our faces.
Well, you've
be
been
all
doing
over.
A lot of business in Japan, haven't you? The back of having Burnsy when he was in Japan.
I'll open up emails. I hope this finds you well. Here's a picture of me and Freddie Burns. Don't know if you know him. He's a fly half played there. Straight away, they're like, give me a call.
In a nonsense. Yeah, with your bush out. Burnsy, you've mastered the Prem in England. You've mastered Japan. Albeit you're going better, you must be looking forward to the challenges which lie ahead for you in Super Rugby.
Obviously, New Zealand is renowned for developing and having some of the world's best fly halves over the years. And then suddenly, like you look at the other franchises, obviously, you've got Moanga Crusaders, you've got Bowden Barrett at the Blues, I think Damian McKenzie's back at the Chiefs, and then you just got Burnsy trying to film him in, trying to do his bits to the Highlanders, mate. But like, generally, it's like you get that thing where I'm fully prepared for like the public in New Zealand to be a bit of like, why the fuck have we signed a 32-year-old Englishman with a bit of a dart on him to play fly half for the Highlanders when we should be developing? But boys, who gives a fuck? They've given me that opportunity. I'm just going to go over there, chuck the pill around and see what happens.
Well, Burnsy, you've obviously got a lot of support from the Leicester Tigers fans, which we're going to come to shortly. But has there been any abuse? Has there been anyone who's that passionate, like lives rugby that much, that they're like livid that you're leaving halfway through the season? Have you got anything?
No, not really. Someone did comment on a picture being like, it's made my day that he's leaving, because apparently against Northampton, I kicked the ball too much. So I told her that, I was glad I could make her day.
Burnsy, you go with my blessing. It would be a shame not to have you in the country. But, the nice thing about Instagram is we can stay in contact constantly. Who did you discuss the move with? Do you have like any mentors in the game? Did you speak to Steve? Did you speak to, I don't know, anyone else?
Nah, I'm tied with Ben Youngs, mate. So I spoke to Lenny.
Yeah, Youngsy.
We had a good chat. And mate, all the boys that I did tell before the news come out or sort of spoke to were all of the same thing. Like, I think it's a move that a lot of players would want to do. I don't feel like a lot of players would necessarily have the bottle to do it, because it is a big move. But B, like, unfortunate enough that it's just me and Becky. Like, we've not got we haven't got any kids, haven't got anything like that. So,
not yet.
We could just go down there and have a crack and probably make a couple.
But Burnsy, can I suggest something to you just on the kid front? I have now got obviously a little Johnny Jono Haskell Abendon, who is brilliant. But if you can conceive a baby out in either Japan, preferably, or New Zealand, that would be great. Dual nationality, just thinking about the kid's future, that's definitely something you should have in the mind. And yeah, also, no, mate, they do great nannies in Japan. So, yeah, do think about it.
Mate, it's at the forefront of my mind. How is fatherhood anyway, Archie? You're right, mate.
It's yeah, I mean, everyone says it changes your life. Not for me. Not for me. I think it's a lot for the nanny to take on board. I don't know if you know this, but they don't do much. They cry a lot. They seem to go to the loo a lot without sort of any sort of knowledge that they're doing that, which I find quite disgusting. There was actually my little Johnny reminds me of a guy I went to school with called Paddy Tuck, who used to shit his pants quite a lot. But I mean, he could spell, and at least he could speak.
Yeah.
Great for Instagram. You know, I find putting her on Instagram really does. Yeah, people are more interested.
Good for
in
the cheekers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having 76,000 followers is good for the cheekers. Right, okay. Don't you know?
Do you know what you need to do, Archie?
What?
You need to chuck the babby. You need to get one of those prams with like the bigger wheels.
Yeah.
Right. And you need to run around the common pushing the baby, mate.
Yeah. No, I've seen a couple of guys doing that, and I did think that is really good. But right. the only thing is, we just need to get a stage where she stops crying, because every time I'm near, she cries. Which is awkward, and I just don't want to. It's not a good look running a baby around crying, because people will probably call authorities. You know, if you do see a guy, and a baby crying like that. But yeah, no, it's magical, Burns. I'm really looking forward to you going through it. It will be a magical thing, and I'm sure you and Becky will be, you know, fantastic parents. But take my advice, get help. You know, get in-house help.
I will.
I imagine
you doing it as well, mate. You'll meet the parents where he's got the fake tit, so he can breastfeed the baby.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah, so that's kind of dad I'd see myself in the future, and I'd take that from you, I'd imagine.
We had a wet nurse, so we just had this girl come in and deliver milk from her breast on a sort of regular basis. She was a lovely, lovely lady. But I was also going to say, fingers crossed, obviously it works out with you and Becky. If not, I'll give you the nanny's number. She's beautiful. She's from Czech. She's great. It's awkward with us. We are very much like a married couple. You know, we don't sleep in the same bedroom, and we don't have sex, but we do spend most of our evenings talking to each other, which is fascinating. Yeah.
Well, you're
anyway, it's not about me. It's about
Burnsy. Let's get back to Burnsy. Burnsy, when Archie finishes off with a colleague or an employee when he fires someone, he does try and make an effort and give them a send-off party. You had your last game at Welford Road on the weekend. Obviously, it didn't go to plan, but was there a piss-up afterwards? You know, all the lads coming together, forget the result, let's get pissed, or not at all?
No, not really, mate. I'll tell you what, because it happened all pretty quick. B, I'll be honest with you, is like, there's a bit of me that, I'd say a little bit feels like a little bit guilty, like leaving midway through the year, especially when, you know, we've already had a few departures during the season, like high profile ones in terms of Steve and Kev going and Nemani going earlier in the year. So there was a bit of that. Also, mate, the boys got a week off this week, so a lot of them hopped straight on flights the next morning and were gone. I had to move out of my house on the Sunday, so I actually just had a big feed with the family, and we just had a few drinks and then spent Sunday packing up the house, mate. So it actually wasn't as loose as maybe we'd like, but there was still a good little send-off in the change room, mate, a few beers and out of the boys. And yeah, I just wanted to get out, mate. I'm not very good at long goodbyes. I prefer the short stuff. Just get it done, get out. I start crying, boys. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, Burnsy, it's interesting because obviously someone who's sort of taking your place as such is Charlie Atkinson, who we, you know, obviously I've come across. I sort of did a day of training at WAS.
Yeah.
And I mean, I told him then that he probably needs to work on his banter. Has he improved, or is it still like pretty average? Because, you know, I said to him there that there was a lot of work to be done on the pitch. Great. Off the pitch, I'm not too sure.
No, he's still a bit green, boy. He's still a bit, you know,
yeah,
a bit raw. He's still got a lot to learn, but mate, he'll get it. He's playing well. The attention will come through. He's not a bad looking, that's the problem though, Archie. See, don't get me wrong, me and you, we're not bad looking blokes, just that, like, we're not, you know, we're not top level, but we're sitting there. The chat's what brings us up.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like Charlie is a good-looking boy. He's not needed to use his chat.
Yeah.
To court any ladies. So that's where he needs to. That's if he starts doing that, mate, he'll go into an echelon of his own.
Burnsy, you were on BBC Leicester last week, and they got these fans to send in tributes to their hero, Prem hero, and yourself. But you were brought to tears. You were an emotional wreck. What happened?
I didn't actually realise that there was, like, the camera there. He must have had it on his phone, like, because it was for BBC Radio, like, Radio Leicester. So I was like, that's why I'm a bit like hunched over, not really, you know, if you're doing a TV thing, you're a bit more open to the cameras and stuff like that. But yeah, he just brought a few messages in and I read a few and they were nice. And then it just got to one, mate, where a lad said that pretty much his last conversation with his granddad was about the final, and he sort of met me a few years before and had a photo and stuff like that. And like, the reason I get emotional, boys, is I think to be in a job where like you can give like a moment to like that, something that's happened to me has meant a lot to other people, I guess is the way to say it. It's like you get that. I don't want to sound too sort of self-righteous or up myself, but to have that moment and like be able to give that moment to other people, it means like more than anything. Like getting, you know, getting told that fathers were there with their daughters, it was their first game, and you know, or in that case, you know, a grandson talking to his granddad who's on his deathbed about it, and that being sort of like the last memories, you kind of it kind of humbles you to how special sport is, and how like that drop goal is a moment that people will cherish, not necessarily because of the drop goal itself, but because of who they were with and where they were when it went over. So I'm very aware that, like, so I got a deal obviously in Japan 2 years, so I'll be 35 and I'll be probably looking for a job, and someone who's in the crowd watching a game or whatever might be the person who's interviewing me during the, do you know what I mean? So I feel like in rugby you can't afford to be like a dick, mate, too much, because you can't just retire and sail off into the sunset like maybe like a footballer could or something. Like, we're going to have to rely on the community and stuff like that. And I just think that I don't really get the arrogance around like certain players not giving people the time of day.
No, I completely agree, Burns. You look incredibly excited. You just remembered something.
Boys, I went to the gym yesterday with my brother, right? 5 a.m. we went to the gym because I was just like, right, got to do a little bit. Got in there. First person who walks in, I see. Who is it? Bear in mind, I'm in Bath.
Oh, Stuart Hooper. Yes. Oh, my God. That is so good. In.
Oh, he walked straight in.
Did he say anything?
Yeah, he come over and said hello with Matt.
Was it awkward?
Not a little bit, but just sort of like, you know, I never wish anyone like that badly. I've been vocal about how our relationship and what I saw as him as a sort of DOR or whatever, but it's never any sort of long-term like hatred or anything there, mate. But it was a little bit like, it was a little bit awkward.
Commercial break.
A wasting time. I want to sort my life, 'cause I'm so damn fat. But I can't afford that Jim Clausen Barry's boot camp or F45. I just stare in the mirror eating more damn dinner, think, fuck, why am I so fat? Like,
oops, I did it again. Oops, I didn't pretend. Oops, got with it, still hopped in it. Ooh, what a tight knee end. Let's go get it again. Wish this never would end. Got it finished, don't fuck with it. It all comes to an end.
Escape this dark reality. I tried to turn a page, I still wander back to vanity. Mama looking down on me, embarrassed by my chassis. I'm not surprised, I'm just insane, you're bringing shame to the family name. But why? How can I afford to fly? Don't have P's, don't have Benz, can't even afford to gym and then. But then, my mum says listen, stop making excuses, time says listen. Go on to the episode, it's alright, this app I flow is gonna make you fly. See, the thing about this app I flow is you don't have to have much money, 'cause you're getting the cheapest classes in the world. All you gotta do is download the iFlow app and you can go to all the classes your friends go to for a quarter of the price, or even better. And guess what? If you've got a gym membership, you can then rent out your membership for money. So if you've got one, you make money. And if you don't have one, you've got the cheapest classes in town. Download it now. Yeah.
Talking about getting a job, Bernsey, like, that is the dream job, isn't it? If you could get a job like Stuart Hooper, where you can just keep going forever and it doesn't matter about results, that's the dream job. So if anyone's out there and is willing to pay Bernsey a lot of money, not really to have an effect on the business, but just to be around, please contact him. Not this year, not next year, year after. Start, yeah.
I'm sure you can get him.
Bernsey, have you got yourself on LinkedIn yet?
You know what? I haven't. Well, all that stuff.
Need to get that going. Honestly, get yourself to Clapham. You and Becky, I'll put you up in a four bed, you know, with the three kids, and I'll take you into the city. You don't worry, no one's going to say anything. As long as you stick your chest out and you just keep talking, you sort of just make your way through it. When I get in the office, I honestly, people will say like, you don't stop talking, do you? And I'm like, nope, nope, I won't give you a second. And that's the way I've forged my career. I'm like a drill of chat, just piercing the wall, going annoying.
But Archie, I just want to quickly...
I'm like the piece of chat that would have got that guy out of Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have drilled myself out just being like...
But Archie, you know, you say Burns is a good guy. We know that. But you also say that you're a good guy. I'm one of the best guys I know.
But have you... I'm one of the most talented people I know.
Have you ever been...
I'm one of the most humble.
Have you ever been moved to tears by a tribute or by an offering or by words of wisdom or by someone contacting you saying thank you?
Yeah, I remember my gap year when I was in Canary Wharf and, you know, they brought the call list up in the office, like most calls in a week, and I was top of the list, and the words that came from my godfather, who owned the company at the time,
right,
were just exceptional. And that was it. That's the last time I think I cried. That's the last time I cried.
Well,
yeah,
Jesus Christ, yeah. That's beautiful. Well, Burnsy, talking of bosses, obviously your old boss Steve Borthwick is now England manager. Obviously you've left Leicester now, but did the club become a lot more relaxed instantaneously, like overnight? Did you guys, you know, start having banter a bit more? Things were, you know, being flown around. People didn't really care when Wiggy came in charge.
Nothing's really changed. Believe it or not, Steve knows he's not the most outgoing person. He's not one to be firing banter about or have a drink.
Could Burnsy just, sorry, the rumour about him and Kevin Sinfield starting a podcast to rival this one's not going to happen then?
I don't think so.
Okay,
mate.
Carry on.
So you're saying Steve's boring, but he's not as boring as you think he may be.
It's not that he's boring, but he's very straight-laced, right? But he genuinely enjoys seeing boys like have a bit of banter in. Like he's very personable. Like, you're generally, in terms of head coaches and DORs and that, he's the best I've worked under. In terms of, he's someone who, you know, you can, if you've got an issue, you can call him up and have a chat, and he'll like support you and help you out. But at the same time, he actually enjoys you being your own person and having a bit of banter and doing it, even though he might not join in with it, if that makes sense. Prime example is Alec Waters at Leicester was the head of performance. He was the Springbok head of performance. And like, Alec will like heckle. It's very much like you two. Freddie, you'd be like Steve, right? You're a little bit more outgoing than Steve.
Fuck it, a little bit.
You've got an ear.
A little bit more outgoing than Steve Borthwick. Jesus
and
Christ.
And I'm like Alec.
No, you are, Fred. But and Archie, it's more an Archie. Archie would be Alec Waters, who would just chime in and just heckle and just go at it. So it's
that's why we're a successful
it's the
podcast.
The yin to the yang, really, though.
That's why, you know, that's why we are the third biggest rugby podcast in the world.
Yeah, you're welcome, or I'm welcome.
You're more welcome. More welcome to be allowed to share this platform with me. 76,000 followers.
Yeah, true.
Okay, don't you forget it, Steve. You've got all the tactics. You're straight laced.
Fred, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, mate. I'm never going to honor this, am I?
Steve, carry on.
Talking
no,
about
you are,
Steve.
You know, you're the face of it. But
talking
actually,
about the real Steve.
The success wouldn't come from... No. It's the little bits of, you know, banter. I'm like a shower of banter in the summer.
Yeah, you like season the dish.
You're hot.
You're like Salt Bae.
Everyone's a bit hot and tired. They're listening to you. All of a sudden, overcomes. Yeah. Here comes the fun guy.
Yeah.
Little bit of a shower. Moisture. Not too much. So you'd have to go inside. You can still enjoy your beer.
Yeah.
And off I go again. And they're like, that is lovely. Because I've had a really serious interview moment, but there you go. Here he comes in.
It's just yeah. Well, we're talking about the real Steve still, Burnsy. Let's just finish them quickly, because obviously now England manager. But a lot of people saying he's been found out a bit. I mean, obviously this season was tougher than last when you guys were just unbelievable. Has he been found out? Are his tactics, you know, sort of a one-trick pony, as they were?
Nah, he's not been found out, mate. Last year at Leicester, we won a lot of games at the death. This year, it just so happens that there's been, you know, we drew Bristol last play of the game. Lost to Exeter last play of the game. Lost to Bath last play of the game. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes it just balances itself out. One thing I'll say about Steve is tactically going into, and that's why last year was such an enjoyable season to be a part of. And this year when he was there, is tactically we were going ahead of everyone else. Tactically, Steve is way ahead of any other coach that I've come across. And obviously, international is a bit different, but he will always have a tactical plan that will give you a likely shot at winning a game.
And just on that note, I don't think there's anyone in the, especially the rugby podcast world, who is more prepared with questions and detailed than you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So there you go. We're just drawing similarities.
And we must say, what a great victory that was for England on the weekend against Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a great... Burnsy, were you happy with the win?
Man, honestly, I was flying at the time, boys. I was flying all the way to New Zealand, right? It was unbelievable.
Obviously, when we spoke to you about winning the Prem, it was an amazing time. We were caught up in the emotions, as were you. But I don't think we ever actually worked out where you and Becky met. I mean, obviously, you used to be in Raya, but I remember 2 years ago, you were complaining that Raya didn't really work in the outer towns. When you're outside London, what's the point? So where has this incredible, because I think everyone in the rugby world is going, Burnsy, fuck me, what a personality Burnsy's got, but Jesus Christ, that guy's punching.
Oh yeah, no, I'm massively punching. She's incredible. She's generally incredible. How I met her, I followed her on Instagram, boys, and I was like, she just popped no, generally she popped up and I was like, this girl is stunning, like, what? So I just followed her. And at the time, my Instagram was private, so she obviously wanted to be a bit nosy and followed me back. Oh, yeah, I just sent her a direct message. And she, to be fair, come back with some... I think I just said... I went for the standard line, boys. I went for the old... something like, oh, hey, Becky, wouldn't expecting a follow back, but I'll definitely take it. Something real basic.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, no, yeah.
Nice. Work.
Write that down. Write that down, because I'm going to use that.
Yep.
Because I get a lot of people following me.
I knew I had to take her for a date when she replied with, well, I could just unfollow you if it's easier. And that was it. And I was like, got a bit about her. So
she certainly does. Burnsy, just quickly, Kerry Johnson, Boris Johnson's wife's just started following me. Should I use that line with her and see where that goes?
I reckon so, mate.
Okay, for the listeners, I will send that to her.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's send it to Kerry now. Let's just send Kerry Johnson.
Let's make it a voice note. It's a podcast. Let's make it a voice note. So, Burnsy, your mic's there.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Burnsy, just before I go into voice note, what are we saying?
Yeah, just be...
Okay.
What should Archie say to Boris Johnson's wife?
Burnsy.
This is a game you don't get on other pods.
I'll just drop her a voice note. Hey, Kerry, it's Archie Cousin here. Hi, babe. You probably know me as the CEO of Clapham, the chief chat officer. I'm just actually recording a podcast with international England legend Freddie Burns. I don't know if you probably saw him kick the drop goal to the Premiership final. We were just chatting and we were just wondering what a gal like you enjoys to get in her inbox. Do let me know and look forward to hearing your response. Love and champagne. Freddie, do you want to say anything?
No, you've done it, mate.
No, I don't know if you heard that. He's there. Okay, love and champagne, bye. Well, we'll see what happens with that.
Well, Jesus.
Hopefully
Christ.
Boris enjoys that.
I played the mysterious card there, mate.
Yeah, no, that was nice.
Well, wait, we'll update the readers on what happened next week.
Okay.
But talking about little sections, that came out of nowhere, and we've actually made a section called the Prem Wrap-Up. Maybe we'll rename it when we do the jingle and the post-edit. But this is for our most capped player of all time, sixth
cap.
It's
a quick-fire question.
Quick-fire. Obviously, you know, over 300 times he's played in the Prem now, over 2,000 points, one of the legends of the game.
Yo, this is Burnsy's Prem Wrap-Up.
Oops, it's a Prem Wrap-Up again. This Prem wrap up with friends. This Prem wrap up again. Trying to work out what you achieved in the Prem. This is a Prem wrap up again. This Prem wrap up with friends. This Prem wrap up again. Trying to work out what you achieved in the Prem.
Best moment on the pitch.
Drop goal. Come on.
Worst moment on the pitch.
Dropping the ball against Toulouse.
Most pissed you've ever been on a night out.
Probably after the final. I had to get undressed. And yeah, I rocked up. Yeah, so I was steaming after.
Maybe
that.
I should rename that. Most trouble you ever got into from antics on a night out.
Probably when I woke up in a police cell at 20 years old because I had a fight in Second Bridge in Bath.
Yeah.
Biggest fight you've witnessed on a night out?
Probably that one, boys.
Most hungover you've ever been for a game?
For Leicester, we played Sale in an LV Cup game in like 2015. There's a few name drops in here. So we were playing Sale on the Sunday. No, the Saturday, and I went down, it was Cheltenham Race Week. So I went down on the Thursday, which was a day off, to meet up with Gloucester legend Nick Wood, prop. So I went to meet him for a catch-up. We went out for a couple of beers. Ended up, I didn't think I was playing on the Saturday, by the way. So I went down, had a few beers, went into 1-3-1 the Promenade. Lovely spot.
What Cheltenham. A place, yeah.
Yeah, we were sat in there, and just as we're about to leave, we're just having a catch up. Only had a cup. We got to about 10 o'clock, half 10, and I was doing the races the next day. And in walked Matt Gitto, Drew Mitchell.
Yeah, right? Gits.
So
yeah.
They come over. We started having a few more drinks. Time ticks by. Then again, we're just about to leave, and in walked England cricket legend Johnny Bairstow. All right, so I've actually got a great picture on my phone. So then it's just the five of us sat at a table, and the owner obviously knew those big dogs at the time and was just plying us with drink. Next thing you know, it's like 4 a.m, steaming. Went to bed, woke up, had a few at the races, got a call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Someone had pulled out of the team run. So I had to step in and play Sale on that Saturday. Rocked up, mate, went all right, won, but that was probably like the fear that I had. I played well because I had the fear, boys. I was
fucking hell.
Yeah. It was that is incredible.
Apart from dropping the ball, most embarrassing thing to happen to you on the pitch?
I was playing for Gloucester when I was younger, and just before half time, it was a really wet day, so I put all the sticky spray on my hands. You know, you can get the spray that sticks to your hands. So I put the sticky spray on literally just before half time, ended up not touching the ball for the last minute or two of the second half, ran into the sheds at half time, and suddenly my stomach turned and I needed a shit. So I had a shit, and then when I went to grab the tissue, and all the tissues obviously sticking to the sticky stuff is on my hand. So I had to get a physio to come in and wipe my ass from me at half time. So probably that.
And the biggest punch-up you've been involved in on the pitch?
There was the big one, Gloucester London Irish, is on YouTube, the Jim Hamilton, David Pace one, where they then get simbined, and as they're walking off, they start laying into each other again. There was also a huge one, Gloucester-Leicester, when I think Tavish Noel got sent off, Bath were beating us at King's Home, and it all kicked off at the final whistle. I think Bendy might have been in that one as well. But
good old Bendy. He loves a mention on the podcast.
He does.
Keeping his name alive, poor guy.
And then finally,
that was a big old punch up.
Biggest dick you've ever played against, and then the biggest dick you've actually ever seen.
Oh, there's a kid who played for Connacht last year called Sam Arnott. I kicked the ball and he kept running past me going, "Are you ever going to run the ball? You're just going to kick it." I'm like, "Mate, it's pissing down the rain, like whatever." Right? And then he was just trying to give me shit, and I got taken off about 15 minutes to go because I was genuinely terrible because I'd been to Nashville and got COVID and not actually played rugby for a month, but I was terrible. And as I walked off, I went to shake his hands in the tunnel, and he wouldn't give me his hand. So when he came through the second time, I grabbed his hand. I said, "Mate," I said, "Mate, I was fucking shit, and we still beat you," which I thought was all right. But
what,
he was
what?
Biggest dick, Jan the Can, Jan Thomas at Bristol Bears. It filled a pint glass. Just that's all I'm saying.
My God,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Why was that put to the test?
Why wouldn't you?
Just because it was massive.
Yeah, I always try and get guys' dicks in a glass.
Really?
Yeah, it's like go around, see. Burnsy, thank you so much, mate.
You've been incredible. Good luck. Fly safe.
Yeah, fly safe. We look forward to catching up with you in New Zealand.
Oh, you've already flown because England have won because this is the post-match analysis interview.
Mate, thank you so much. Love and champagne. We love you lots.
No worries. England for the Grand Slam, mate.
Yeah,
mate,
here we go.
Grand Slam. Speak to you soon, Burnsy. Send our love to Becky.
Mate, legends. Cheers, boys. Take it easy. Bye.
Well, what an absolute legend Burnsy is.
Oh, yeah.
I miss him. He's thousands of miles away.
Yeah, he's gone now, but it was brilliant to catch up with him. He's such a lovely bloke.
Have you heard back from Boris's wife yet? Boris Johnson's wife?
No, I haven't. And she's actually stopped following me.
Oh.
Which is a shame, but you know, I'm sure she listens to podcasts. She's probably one of the 25% women that listen to podcasts. Carrie.
If you're free tonight.
Come to Victoria and restaurant. Bring Boris.
He needs a bit of business
he'll
advice.
He'll probably absolutely love the chat. Yeah. We've probably got quite a lot in common. Come on down.
LinkedIn loving. Tell you how much cash I made today. LinkedIn loving.
So we're starting off with Jeet Ghost. Do you know Jeet Ghost?
Jeet Ghost. Anything to do with watches? I think I know Jeet. Is there anything to do with watches, Freddie?
I think he used to work in watches. He's now a co-founder of Mountbase, which is like an on-demand streaming service.
Oh, right. Okay. Interesting. So he said... He's probably looking for me to do content, I imagine.
Yeah, this was yesterday morning. I have a confession to make.
Oh, what is it?
I'm unprofessional. Why? Well, because I do the following. I don't wear a suit to work. I greet my team and clients with hey. I ask them about their lives outside of work. I add emojis to my emails and Slack messages. But does any of this affect my ability to run my business? What do you think? Being professional in the workplace doesn't mean you have to be completely void of all personality. You can still be professional and be yourself and be casual.
Interesting. Well, I don't know if Jeet listens to podcasts, but can I suggest that he sort of remains in Shoreditch, where that kind of behaviour is probably allowed.
Yeah.
Down Brick Lane with all the other sort of smelly, sort of creative people. If someone in our office wasn't wearing a suit, asked me about my private life and said, hey, without any hesitation, I would march them out of the office and tell them not to come back until they've washed their mouth out.
Okay,
soap.
This next one from Ed Skinner.
Skinzy, I know Skinzy. Now, if it's the Skinzy I know, he has actually got one bollock larger than the other.
Yeah, I think it may be.
And he works in IT.
IT insurance, yeah.
IT insurance, yeah. Really good guy. Really good guy.
Well, he said...
Cheats on his wife. Is this going on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. He says, is it okay to employ a three-year-old? We had a lesson in the stock market. I showed him some graphs and explained how Netflix is a stock, not just somewhere to watch Paw Patrol. He looked like he understood and was interested, so I continued to talk about interest rates and inflation. When I finished, he looked at me and said, Daddy, you're crazy, and walked off. But I think it's important to try and teach the next generation about money investing. They're the future, but maybe I'll wait a few years with Theo.
I think that is absolutely brilliant. He's absolutely right.
Really?
Theo, his three-year-old, sounds like an absolute bellend. You know, the dad is giving him some remarkably good advice that will benefit him, not just now, but in the future.
Okay.
You know, he will be able to be doing some serious business at school.
You don't think he's too young? Three?
Three, not absolutely not. I'm now talking to my daughter who is 4 months.
Right. Okay.
You know, I'm talking at her and explaining EBITDA.
Well, okay.
You know, and she's taking it all in.
Talking about regrets and losing all your money in Biltong or not?
Yeah, no. Just talking to her about just slow and steady EBITDA. I'll come to the Biltong later in her life.
Okay.
You know, it's a long term. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, but no, really good guy. Skinzy.
Yeah.
Make a note, reach out to Skinzy. I really like that chat. It's brilliant. And I'm glad he's sharing all that on LinkedIn. So I think people will be really interested.
Okay, and then finally we got one from Lloyd Chappell.
Chaps.
Yeah.
Mate. Absolute champion.
Really?
Yeah.
Looks a bit odd. Okay.
Big boy.
Right.
Tell you what, that guy puts on his big boy pants every day, mate.
Right, okay.
His LinkedIn statuses are inspirational.
Okay. Well, he said this morning at 5 a.m. So the puppy got up this morning at 4 a.m. I had two choices as far as I see it. One, I could make a decaf tea and go back to bed. Two, I'll crack on with those unfinished tasks and actions from yesterday. What would you do? Me? Come on, guys. I just boshed a quadruple espresso, fired up the laptop. Happy hunting, all. Have a great day. Hashtag pharmatech, hashtag medtech, hashtag business.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, his hashtags are brilliant. He certainly knows how to use hashtags. Yeah. Secondly, that is a great status. That is something that is inspirational, motivational. Do you think you could do me a favor, Clovis?
Sure.
Do you think you could put some sort of, I don't know, some sort of 80s synth music on the back of that, like a Rocky montage? You could just reread that sort of last bit of it.
Really?
What he did that morning. Okay. Not only the first bit, just the second bit. Let's go for it.
I could have made a decaf tea and gone back to bed. But no, I cracked on with those unfinished tasks and actions from yesterday. What would you do? Well, me. I've just boshed a quadruple espresso, fired up the laptop. Happy hunting, all. Let's have a great day.
That is, honestly, that's probably been my favourite part of the podcast.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are around in London this evening and you fancy being part of a AAA, BBB, CCC lifestyle course, a networking course, have a live podcast with an England Lions and Wasps legends and Simon Shaw, and meet your hero in Archie Curzons, then come on down to M Restaurant, Victoria.
Yeah.
Go on the link in the show notes now and get your ticket. 15 quid, including a free 12-quid cocktail. You're welcome. And if you're under 18, as you said earlier, you can feel free to legally drink.
And by the way, for the people who have bought, we will see you there.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Get ready. Fire up your banter, because we are getting loose. And honestly, don't expect to go to bed before 2 o'clock.
No.
Because we'll be going out.
But the restaurant closes at like 11, actually.
Okay, but the Northern Line doesn't close at 11.
Yeah.
We'll be all marching onto the Northern Line, singing songs, getting into Clapham Old Town, finding a bar, and cutting loose. I might even ask Inferno to open up. I'm not even joking. Don't push me, Clodders. Do not push me.
I won't push you. Oh, no, please.
I'm drinking now, mate, and okay. I'm back to it, honestly.
Well, I will see you later this evening.
Chilled out in Jan. Okay, Feb has come.
Yeah.
And
you're quite
the tiger is out, mate.
Okay.
The tiger is out.
Well, hopefully we can catch you up enough for the podcast.
This tiger likes lashing, press-ups, and eating chicken. Rawr!
Right, okay. Yeah. Archie, I'll see you later this evening.
Well,
guys, thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
See you tonight for some chat. Boo, boo, boo. See you tonight for some chat. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Mate, can you make a song about that? That's bloody good.
the way that you wanna be loved? Is that the way that you wanna be loved? Is that the way that you wanna be loved? Is that the way that you wanna be loved?